Blog Talk Radio.
And now, a sneak preview of an upcoming episode of the Kubrick series, the Movie Geeks United in-depth 8-part podcast tribute series dedicated to exploring the films of Stanley Kubrick. In this clip, ABC News reporter Bill Blakemore discusses the hidden meanings in The Shining.
That movie was about the genocide of the American Indians. And they said, what are you talking about? And then I mentioned the Calumet baking soda can in its first appearance. I hadn't yet realized the second appearance of them. That appears on the shelf right behind Halloran's head from Danny's point of view. Straight on, you can read the full word Calumet. At the moment that, in that moment of astonishing cinematic beauty, when Halloran, while still talking to Wendy, turns down and looks down at Danny and shines telepathically at Danny, how'd you like some ice cream, Doc? Mm-hmm. Now, that was there's serious symbolism going on here. I went back and saw the movie again very soon after that and saw that there's a second time when when Jack is in the cold storage locker room when he is, and behind Jack's head in that scene, there's about 7 or 8, I don't forget exactly how many, of these Calumet baking powder cans, none of them straight on. To me, these represent the dishonest treaties between white men and what we know happened. Let's not forget, it's at the end when even Wendy begins to see the ghosts who have done all of this. The last ghost she sees is of a very classically rich guy with a bald head with a tuxedo who's drunk in this party. And a friend of mine who studied the psychology of war says the worst killing happens towards the end. There's this speeding up toward the end of this movie, and she runs up to the top of the stairs trying to get to Danny, who Jack is after, and there's this drunk guy with literally blood on his head, visual, verbal pun, holding out a little glass of whiskey or something, saying, great party, isn't it? Like he stands in for all the best people who've come to this hotel, the magnates, the rich people who provided the money for the horrendous genocidal armies pushing across and getting the land in the tragic beginnings of the United States. She sees the horrors. We see through all of the horrors at the end. The movie itself, Stanley Kubrick has allowed us, once we understand what the movie is really meditating upon, to see through all these horrors of mystery. And then this maze of America, which is represented by both the hotel itself, which is compared to the maze itself, the moral maze. Danny gets out by retracing his own steps, which I've always felt is sort of like a pun of acknowledging history. You know, retracing your steps, seeing where you've been. Jack, who's a blundering idiot, just keeps going forward and freezes in it. And then they escape in the snowcat. And Kubrick very subtly, as the snowcat begins to make its way up to the road, to make its way down the mountain, Kubrick moves a curtain of fog across it as if to say to the audience at that moment, if you all want to know what happens to Wendy and Danny, that's not what this movie's about. You can presume if you want that they're going to get out all right. We're going to go back and I'm going to give you a last puzzle to walk out of the theater wondering about. And he zooms in slowly over that beautiful music back to the ball in the 1920s, and there's Jack at the beginning of it in the Overlook Ball 1921, and there's the last... He forces you all, as he does with many of his movies, he forces us to go out and say, what was that about? We ponder it. And, of course, the Overlook Ball, we overlook what we did to the Indians. It was not in July 4th, 1921, I think. It was not an Independence Day for the Indians.
For more information on the Kubrick series and to listen in on Episode 1 and uncut interviews with Matthew Modine and James B. Harris, visit us online at moviegeeksunited.net/Kubrick.
Yeah, man.
man, that Shining show is going to be so good.
You had to play the music from it, man. The music is so hypnotic. I mean,
I love the music.
I mean, it's so hypnotic. Oh,
the
man,
wildest.
Watch that again.
The wildest interpretations you'll find in The Shining show. And you will want to watch that movie again after hearing this show, shaping up to be.
Well,
you'll be like, I haven't seen that movie before. I gotta look at it again.
Well, it's amazing. That's what's really amazing. Just the long conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, I just wanted to go back and watch everything after that. It was so fascinating. And I think that's the best thing that you can really do with these shows is that you want to go back and revisit all these films because while you're listening to the analysis and just different opinions, you're like, you know, how many movies do you see lately that have these kind of layers? And the answer is not many. I mean, no, there are some. I'm not saying that today's movies are inferior by any, but just that there are so many layers and so many different interpretations. And as Chris pointed out, that's the beauty of these films. There's just so many different interpretations of them.
And there's a reason why he took so many years to mount another film, because he was exhausting all these possibilities, and his films are puzzles, and they're a big intellectual exercise, but the hidden meanings are entirely emotional. So the emotional content of Kubrick's films are not as extroverted as other films, and that's why I was slow to pick up on appreciating Kubrick. But I do think they are very emotional, and we're getting people that say he's very cold, blah blah blah, and then we're getting other people that say no, his movies are all about human connection. And it's the most amazing conversations.
Yeah.
It makes you excited about movies, you know?
Yeah, no, and you're absolutely right. And you know, speaking of human connections and everything, you know, I know that it has been stated a billion times before, but I mean, isn't Hal the most human character in 2001?
Yeah.
That's when he sings Daisy and everything. I mean, it's just like, wow.
Or is he the devil? Is the evolution of the further evolution of mankind that occurs in that film, attaining another level of consciousness, the next evolution of the human species, which I guess is represented by the end of 2001, that really starts by dismantling Hal, by killing Hal.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions. In 2001.
Right.
And
oh yeah.
We haven't found the show yet. We've interviewed about 30 people for 2001, and I haven't found it yet.
Right.
Trying
no,
to
I
edit
hear
it
you.
Together. So the 2001 show is going to air December 30th to give us some breathing room to put it together as it should be put together. It was originally supposed to air this Sunday. But I spoke to somebody today. We never know. There's a gentleman named Patrick Moore. Patrick Moore is one of the foremost astronomers in the world. He's known as a national treasure in Britain. He's hosted a show called The Sky at Night, over 600 episodes for the past 50 years. He was best friends with Arthur C. Clarke from the age of 12. He's credited as a musical consultant for 2001. So I thought I'll send him an interview request, and I can get the take on Stanley Kubrick's use of classical music in his films. So I get him on the phone, and he says, really, I was just having lunch. I mean, I can't imitate him. I feel like I'm imitating Ozzy Osbourne when I try to imitate a British accent. I was sitting at lunch with Arthur C. Clarke, and he mentioned this 2001 show, and I said, you know, they should use the Blue Danube for that sequence. And that was my contribution. I said, oh, so the rest of the time we just talked about, is there life in outer space or something? Because I don't know. So you don't know what you're going to get. These are exciting shows. An exciting show tonight too.
Definitely. This is the big one. There's the Golden Globes. You know, once again, it's like the Golden Globes have proven themselves what they are.
The bastard stepchild of the Oscars.
Yeah. I don't know. They obviously, as I've gotten older, they seem to have, they're much more important in some ways. But you know, there's also, you do look at the nominations, and you do, and I don't mean to sound, and this is, I know this comes off as snobbery, but it's not meant to, but you do look at it, and you're just like, we really think some of these are awards worthy? because of it. Because it does. It does seem like it, some of these things that they nominate because it made this much money.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And plus, I get a really distinct sense that a lot of times in the Golden Globes, they don't actually see the movie because the movie hasn't opened or the movie mm-hmm. hasn't screened for critics yet. I think, I don't know necessarily about this year, but in years previous, I think they nominate things on how prestigious they think that these projects will be.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that produces a lot of head scratchers. It also produces a lot of head scratchers that they have the different categories. They divide comedy, musical,
right.
from drama. And so that allows for a Burlesque or The Tourist. There's also the star
wattage, if you will.
Yeah, and they want Johnny Depp. Let's give him double noms for Alice in Wonderland and The Tourist. The abomination that is at Alice in Wonderland. And
he's one of the highest grossing movies of all
time.
And it's just utterly a waste of everyone's time.
It's unwatchable. It really is unwatchable.
Yeah. But it was
shocking.
Shockingly bad. But it really does make you, and it doesn't make me want to go back and say Planet of the Apes or Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is any better, because I think all three of them, I think when Burton goes to this remake territory or whatever, this reimagining or whatever you want to call it, he stumbles horribly. I mean, he really just...
You know what watching Alice in Wonderland's like? It's like someone is on hallucinogenic drugs, and as the straight person in the room, you're looking at them, you don't understand what the hell they're seeing or talking about, but you're like, man, I can't imagine how great what he sees is, but I don't see it. You know, that's what Alice in Wonderland's like.
Mm-hmm.
It's like watching somebody that's high and
you're
straight.
Yeah, and it's really sad because it's like...
And they don't make a bit of sense. You know, they're not coherent.
No, I mean, and it's like, what the sad thing is, you have all these wonderful actors in it, Crispin Glover, Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
And I guess Helena Bonham Carter is going to always have a job
mm-hmm.
because of Tim Burton. I guess she's always going to get work, and that's fine. I know, I don't begrudge.
She's great.
She's an awesome, she's Marla Singer. She'll always be Marla Singer in my book. But and she's in this King's Speech, which I'm looking forward to. Now, did she get nominated for that?
I don't know. We'll find out when we start reading the categories.
I have the list, the moron that I am. I have the list.
You think I've actually reviewed these before we did the show?
No, of course not. Why? Silly me.
Why would I prepare? I have no idea.
Burlesque got... Wait. No, I'm sorry. Before we go... Comedy... Burlesque got a Best Picture nomination? I knew I should have gone to see it. The Tourist nomination is the one that's baffling, though. I mean...
Yeah, and Cher got Best Male Lead, didn't she?
Oh my God.
That's terrible.
That is great. Now she's going to sue the show. That's just wonderful.
Cher looks fantastic.
We should all look that good.
At 190.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we're going to hell.
She's looking more and more like Sonny Bono, I think.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we already jumped the shark. Have we nuked the fridge already tonight?
I think so. Hey, I saw something. I didn't get to see True Grit, as I was explaining to you before we got on air, because our car broke down on the way over, so I couldn't see True Grit. But I did see How Do You Know last night, which is the new James L. Brooks movie.
Okay.
That opens this Friday. There's a couple of things that lead one to believe that How Do You Know is in trouble. One thing is that massive press reports that have stated this movie is in trouble.
I
think that they probably started shooting and maybe it happened in post. I don't know when it happened, but you get the sense that they looked at it and they said, this isn't working. How can we fix it? And they went back and reshot stuff. It was postponed for a while. It didn't have a release date for a while. James L. Brooks is, in my opinion, just a brilliant writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's very special. I think his masterpiece is Broadcast News.
Right.
As Good as It Gets is very good. Terms of Endearment is very good. Mm-hmm. Even his two failures, Spanglish, I love Adam Sandler in Spanglish, and I'll Do Anything, in spite of I'll Do Anything originally being a musical and
having
them cut out all the music from it. It still works on an emotional level for me, and there's some really clever characters in it. That's what I like James L. Brooks for. I love his characters, the specificity of his supporting characters. And I know it comes from working in television and sitcoms, and people pin that on him all the time. But he makes these vivid, specific characters that you don't find in a lot of films.
Right.
I think the phoenix of that is most profoundly realized in Broadcast News. And female characters too. He's very strong with female characters.
Okay.
How do you know?
How is her performance? I think that's the big thing for me.
She's physically perfect for it.
Mm-hmm.
And emotionally completely wrong for it.
Really?
I think the major reason why I couldn't get into it was her. Here you have the highest paid romantic comedy actress, and she's highest paid because she's most in demand. I mean, she is in this time what Julia Roberts was several years ago. And
okay,
you know,
Julia Roberts,
she hasn't gone anywhere. Julia Roberts is still great, but
yeah,
but you know, she's carrying that mantle. Now.
Okay, I really think that the pinnacle of her career is Walk the Line.
Me too.
I think that she's perfect. I mean, that movie is, I think, one of that rarity of music biopics that's very good. I didn't think she was great in Rendition. I didn't think Rendition was a very good movie, but what else has she been in since Rendition? Is this the first movie since Rendition?
Oh, I don't know.
I'll look that up.
Either way, she's... The character herself, what the movie needed was another Holly Hunter. It needed someone that was kind of emotionally distant, really tough, single and independently minded modern woman,
mm-hmm.
and someone that, as the film moved along, and she showed more and more vulnerability, you started to find sexier.
Right.
Reese Witherspoon, it was bad casting. Actually, it's pretty badly cast across the board in terms of chemistry between the actors. There's no chemistry in the movie. The movie plays like scenes that the germs of which are terrific. Like the dialogue really sings. Mm-hmm. The situations have so much promise. But it's like the scenes themselves might work, but... The movie doesn't. It's like the actors are playing the scene without a picture of the entire movie in their heads. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe you can pick out scenes of this movie and they'll play very well, but they don't add up to much in the whole.
Right. What about Paul Rudd? I like him.
Paul Rudd's
fine. Yeah, I liked him in I Love You, Man, and The Shape of Things and films. Like that. How is he? He's good. What about Jack?
Jack's fine. Jack has like one or two great moments in it. It's really like a kind
extended
of a really
cameo.
Yeah, more or less.
Right.
But Paul Rudd, I love Paul Rudd.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
He's photographed so horribly in this movie.
Oh God.
The movie's not very. There are some scenes that aren't very well shot. It's shot by Janusz Kaminski, who's Spielberg's longtime DP.
Right.
There's some really awkward angles, awkward camera shots, camera work mm-hmm. in the film, mm-hmm. and I've never seen Paul Rudd look goofier or less appealing. There's a restaurant scene that, and this is very odd for me because I won't be conscious of something if it's working.
Right.
But there's a restaurant scene, a first date between the two of those two of them that I just was off put by. And I hate to say it because I love James L. Brooks, and some of the writing is just it's up to par with his stuff. What it is, it's a lot of promise, and they couldn't get there. You know, they couldn't. It didn't get together. It didn't flow. You know.
Oh man!
But go see it. I recommend people go see it. Like thoughtful moviegoers, go see it.
Right.
Because for me personally, it is an interesting failure, and I'm still trying to pinpoint how it failed, and
mm-hmm.
so I'm interested in hearing other people's thoughts on it. And sometimes those are very valuable movies,
right?
Movies
of course,
yeah. Movies that contain all this promise, but it goes wrong somewhere. Where does it go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I'm very curious. But we had talked about this over the summer, whenever the trailer first, that the trailer itself was not, you know, wasn't, how should we say it, wasn't attractive,
yeah,
if you will. It didn't work. The trailer wasn't selling the film at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. You're right. And people will walk in and they'll want, you know, one subsection will want the spunky Reese Witherspoon romantic comedy. Mm-hmm. And the movie's not that. And to its credit, it's not that. I mean, she's a professional softball player.
Right, yeah.
And that's another thing I love about its movies. People like Alan Pakula or Michael Mann are really good at this, too. They're really good at showing people working.
Right.
Which sounds like an odd thing to say, but
no,
their movies...
No, Michael Mann's specialty,
yeah,
I mean...
It really is. Characters defined by what they do and their process of doing it. All the President's Men is the shining example of that kind,
mm-hmm,
of film. And Fincher, Zodiac.
Yeah, Zodiac, yeah, that's the perfect Fincher film to use, although I'm now beginning to think The Social Network, too, and Seven also,
yeah,
definitely...
Yeah, so it is interesting. Okay, Dean's on the phone. Let's take his call.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Dean. That's all we need to hear from you. Okay.
Hi, Dean.
On.
How are you?
Love you.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's going on? Two of my best friends on the phone.
I thought it would be funny if I just brought your phone light up just to hear you chuckle and then shut it off again.
That
There's
would be
Dean.
Good. You should do that. You should do that. I have a great laugh. You know, I met Julia Roberts when she was doing
was the Top Gun premiere.
No. This was different. This is an interesting story. A long time ago, when I was in Atlanta, which is where Julia Roberts is from, I did an interview with her when she was. It was around Brooklyn, and I did an interview with her, like, you know, talking to her, and. It was a very, very, it was probably one of my most interesting interviews in the sense that she was coming back home and she was coming back to Atlanta. She had only done a couple of movies and this was for Mystic Pizza, which was her breakthrough. And at that time, well, I won't tell you what went on at the Round Robin. There was some things that she might not like to hear about.
Right.
But I will tell you that I had her sign a Mystic Pizza poster for me.
Oh, God, Dean, are you one of these that makes them all sign something? You insist on getting an autograph?
Dude, only if I have a movie poster with me. If I have a movie poster with me,
I mean.
But not on just a napkin or whatever. But, yes, if I have a movie poster with me and I make a special effort to get the movie poster to get them to sign it, but and that's
if I want a remembrance of Julia Roberts' signatures, like the last thing on my mind.
Well, hold on. This is a great thing, though. In this very difficult interview, where she was very emotional because she was just starting out, and no one knew what to ask her except about personal things. She signed my Pizza movie poster like this. She said, "To Dean, great laugh, Julia Roberts. Julia Roberts loves the way that I laugh."
Wow. And you've been masturbating to that every night since, I'm sure.
Oh, my God.
Totally changed now. It's completely warped.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. Oh, my God.
All right.
Yeah, but isn't that a good story? I could tell you more.
That's a beautiful story.
I
don't regret
like
picking
people.
Up your line one bit.
I do not go after. In fact, Matthew Modine is the only person that I've gone after to get a signature on just a plain piece of paper, which wasn't just a plain piece of paper, but was actually like a very good, like solid piece of paper. And he this was at Tribeca a couple of years ago, and he did a very great thing with me, which he said "Born to Kill" and then put a peace sign on it, and Matthew Modine. So that was great. So.
Cool.
That's
Matthew Modine's interview is now available at moviegeeksunited.net/uncut.
With a special preamble on it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's going on, guys? Like,
we're doing Golden Globe. Yeah. We're going to do Golden Globe predictions tonight.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Okay. So if you want, if you want to stay on the line,
I would love to.
Isn't that the sound clip that Howard Stern plays for O.J. Simpson all the time? I would love to.
I would love to, yes.
Is it? That's funny.
Yes, it is. All right. Is everybody in the chat room ready? Are we ready to do these Golden
Globe
nominations?
I'm ready to do these. I actually have the nominations list in front of me.
Call in. I looked at the nominations earlier, and I made my earlier tonight, knowing that this was coming up, I looked at them and committed them to memory.
Jesus
all right,
Ray, the amazing Kreskin here. I mean,
yeah. Okay, let's go. Let's tackle TV first. This should
TV?
Be a cakewalk.
Okay,
sure.
Oh, I didn't look at the TV.
All right, no, I can do the hockey TV. I'm very familiar with these too. So I mean,
there's always a wrench that we throw in here, Dean.
And it's a wrench. And I throw in a wrench. Never mind.
But I'll have something to say.
Okay.
All right, I bet you will. Okay, here's our first category. Best performance by an actress in a supporting role in a series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television. Here are the nominees. Hope Davis for The Special Relationship. She played Hillary Clinton in that.
That's right, yeah.
Jane Lynch for Glee. Kelly MacDonald for Boardwalk Empire.
Ooh.
Julia Stiles for Dexter. And Sofia Vergara for Modern Family.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that's
great.
Tough.
That is a tough thing, but I will tell you this. Sophia, immediately, I have something to say. For me, I love Sophia. She is incredible. I think she's incredible, and it's great. Sophia
told me she loved my laugh. I don't know if I told you.
I don't think she was ever better than in Soul Plane, but that's just me.
She is great on that show. She's one of the linchpins of that show, to tell you the truth. And you're kind of always, you know, the sign of a great performance is if you're
okay.
Are we
going to like do a prediction? Or are we going to like? I'm looking for prediction.
Jane Lynch for Glee.
Okay.
I have not watched one single second of Glee. But I know that she will win.
Well, my thing with Glee, you know, it's really funny, you know, that she's nominated. One of the criticisms of this season is that she's like really you talk about linchpin. She's the linchpin at a show. She really hasn't been on that much this season, which is
she'll win.
I think she'll win. A bolder prediction. I would give it to Julia Stiles for Dexter, but she was magnificent on that. Some of the best work that she's done since Save the Last Dance and was it 10 Things I Hate About You. I would definitely, in the Business of Strangers, I would give it to her or Kelly MacDonald, but I do think you're right. The Golden Globes tends to go for new and, like, fresh, you know, and Glee is
on
the moment. So.
Okay.
Well, you know who I would go for, like, if it was my heart, if you know who that is, because I'm
Kelly MacDonald, I mean,
For sure. I would, like, hands down. She's one of the great things
Did
about
you say
that show. She gives
down or hands down?
Both.
I'd go for Kelly MacDonald, pants both. Down.
But,
all right, here's my prediction.
If
you're handicapping this race, you have Hope Davis, who plays the highest profile character of the bunch.
Oh yeah,
Hillary Clinton,
and a good performance too. A very good
For the network that wins the most amount of anything it's nominated for, HBO. You have Jane Lynch, which obviously Glee is a very popular show, and everybody she's the woman that everybody loves to hate. Kind of, you know, she plays that.
She's a female Frank Burns.
Right.
Like some math.
Yeah,
so.
That's good, actually.
You have Modern Family, which is a comedy that everyone's crazy about, and everybody talks about Sofia Vergara in it. All right, so my prediction would be Kelly MacDonald for Boardwalk Empire.
That's the one who should win.
That's the one who should win because she gives the heart to that show. She is the person that you want to see what happens to her more than anything else because you know that she is getting involved with something that is above her head. And you know that Steve Buscemi sees it in her. And she does it. She it's totally her. I would give it to Kelly MacDonald in a heartbeat.
And plus, I have a feeling that Boardwalk Empire is probably going to sweep.
I think you're right.
That'll just be another another notch in that belt. Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. TV series, miniseries, or motion picture made for television. Scott Kahn for Hawaii Five-O, Chris Colfer for Glee, Chris Noth for Noth, for The Good Wife, Eric Stonestreet for Modern Family, David Strathairn for Temple Grandin. My prediction would be David Strathairn.
David Strathairn for me, too.
Yeah, unless they want to go ride the Glee train, but I do think, David, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actress in a television series drama. Juliana Margulies for The Good Wife. Elizabeth Moss for Mad Men. Piper Perabo for Covert Affairs.
She was from Coyote Ugly, right?
Yeah,
Lucky.
Piper.
And The Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, yeah.
Katie?
You are amazing, Jerry. I can't believe you know that. All right.
I'm really ashamed of myself for knowing that.
You have totally trumped me now.
I've trumped you in worthless knowledge. Yes, that's about it, though. I mean,
well, it ain't worth it.
Okay, well, Jamie's getting upset, so we got to let him finish the nominations.
Go ahead.
Katie Sagal for Sons of Anarchy and Kira Sedgwick for The Closer.
They might give it to Kira Sedgwick because this is her
next
Kira, last
season. Well, Kira, hasn't she won like four of them so far?
Yeah.
So she's it's about time for them to change. So I'm going to go over with Katie Goldblum again one more time.
Jesus Christ.
Dear God.
Just tell me the names. Tell me the names.
Juliana Margulies, Elizabeth Moss.
Juliana Margulies.
Would you let me finish? If you ask me to repeat something, let me finish repeating it before you interrupt me.
Right.
Piper Perabo, Katie Sagal, Kira Sedgwick.
Margulies. That's who I'm going for.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Katie Sagal.
I like that choice.
I think they're all really good choices, but it's just, I think Jamie's right about the HBO thing, though.
There's Sons of Anarchy. I mean, she plays kind of like married with convicts in that.
I think it's great, though. And God forgive me for going off and ruining the nomination track here, but I just think it's great that she and Ed O'Neill have found like these new shows that have done very well.
That is neat. I love that.
Yeah. My prediction is Juliana Margulies.
That's a good one. Yeah.
All right. Who for some reason I she and Amy Brenneman seem so similar to me.
You're right.
I get them confused a lot.
I don't agree.
All right. As long as I have you on record as that, as not agreeing. But you like the bellboy, so what do I know?
All right,
best performance by an actor in a television series drama, Steve Buscemi for Boardwalk Empire, Bryan Cranston for Breaking Bad, Michael C. Hall for Dexter, John Hamm for Mad Men, and Hugh Laurie for House MD. Hugh Laurie is the new Tony Shalhoub. You know, Tony Shalhoub every damn year would be nominated for Monk.
Okay,
that's what Hugh Laurie is now.
I'm surprised
Tony Shalhoub. Monk is off the air. I'm surprised that Tony Shalhoub isn't nominated again, even though that show is off the air.
I can tell you it might be Michael C. Hall.
I'm going for Buscemi.
About Buscemi, yeah, I mean, but I'm just saying, because Dexter's been renewed, but, you know, his health is of,
yes.
That's a thing, a factor to put in there. Now, I do, you know, once again, going with Jamie's theory, I do think this is that Boardwalk Empire has an opportunity, and a very good opportunity, to sweep every category it's nominated in.
Mm-hmm.
It is the critical darling, and it is the darling of the season.
Plus, I just think that people want to give Buscemi some kind of recognition because everybody loves Steve Buscemi. Who doesn't love Steve Buscemi? Come on.
His dentist. All right. I think it's between Steve Buscemi and Bryan Cranston, and I give it to Buscemi because of the piece, of Boardwalk Empire.
Cranston is great. That was the thing that made me like go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, no.
Which one is it?
These are tough categories. The TV ones are very tough this year.
Is
that
it the
actor category was insanely tough.
Is it the Golden Globes or the Emmys that always gives it to the same people year after year after year?
It's the Emmys.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank God we're not doing those nominations.
Yeah, yeah, forget that. Best performance by an actress in a television series, musical, or comedy, Toni Collette for United States of Tara, Edie Falco for Nurse Jackie, Tina Fey for 30 Rock, Laura Linney for The Big C, Lea Michele for Glee.
Is Laura Linney?
I think so, too. Easy.
All right, that was good. Next category. Best performance by an actor in a television series, musical, or comedy. Alec Baldwin, 30 Rock, Steve Carell, The Office, Thomas Jane, Hung, Thomas Jane 4, the show Hung, Matthew Morrison for Glee, Jim Parsons for The Big Bang Theory.
Mm, that's...
I go to Carell because it's his last season.
Yeah.
Right.
I would go there, yeah.
I give it to Matthew Morrison in Glee. I'm going to go out on a limb here. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm known for. It's not like we're going to check back.
We're not going to get shot if we miss these, right?
Some geek out there might do it.
Yeah.
Amy, oh, God. Oh, Dean, stop giving people ideas, man.
They're going to do it, I'm telling you.
Great. Thank you so much. I'm not going to be able to sleep tonight.
Best performance by an actress.
I think it's going to be Carell. All right, go ahead.
Best performance by an actress in a miniseries or motion picture named made for television. Hayley Atwell for The Pillars of the Earth. Claire Danes for Temple Grandin. Judi Dench for Return to Cranford. Romola Garai for Emma. And and Jennifer Love Hewitt for The Client List.
This is Claire Danes all the way.
This is the easiest one, Claire Danes. No question about it.
Yeah, this is her. This is definitely.
Even though, my God, Jennifer Love Hewitt can cry on cue like nobody's business, man.
Like real crying?
She's a great crier.
Really?
She is. Yeah.
All right, but it's going to be Claire Danes.
Why?
You
show her pictures of me? I mean, what are you doing?
Trust me.
You made her cry, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes,
I did.
Yes.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, this one's a gimme. It better be a gimme for all of you guys, too. Best performance by an actor in a miniseries or motion picture made for television, Idris Elba for Luther, Ian McShane for The Pillars of the Earth, Dennis Quaid for The Special Relationship, Edgar Ramirez for Carlos, and the undisputed, the inarguable winner of this category, Al Pacino for You Don't Know Jack.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
that's
for
a
really
given.
Great
Although,
performance from him.
Yes.
So.
It is. That's a given. You're right. But I have to tell you that when you mentioned Edgar Ramirez for Carlos, I was like, well, he's the winner. But then, no.
Now, is that
right.
Because it was shown on the Sundance Channel? Is that why they put that movie in that category?
Is that the same Carlos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's an abbreviated...
It's a TV production for Spain.
Right.
Yeah, but for Sundance, it's not showing the Sundance Selected least.
Yeah.
It's just showing a two-hour edited version. I have the one that they did show. I haven't gotten a chance to watch it because I just don't have that time on my hands right now. But, okay, you're right. It was, that's a good... Jamie, that might be the one thing to challenge him, but I do think it's Pacino.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
You know, and if Pacino,
you're right. It is the one thing to challenge him because you got to remember this is the foreign press. This is the Hollywood Foreign Press Association. So you got to remember that. But
you also have to remember that they are enormous star lovers.
They like
yeah.
star wattage. They like.
There's no question about it that Al Pacino is going to win. So that's
yeah,
it.
He's extraordinary in that movie.
It's a very good movie. It's one of his best performances ever.
Best miniseries or motion picture made for television. Carlos, The Pacific, The Pillars of the Earth, Temple Grandin, and You Don't Know Jack.
This is tough.
This is really tough.
I would say The Pacific, just for...
Yes.
Yeah, I liked The Pacific. I thought The Pacific was very well done. But
there's
Temple
no
Benjamin
way you
was great, too.
Pacific. You can't beat it. You can't beat it. It's too big. You can't beat it.
Right.
All that other stuff is incredibly great, but that you cannot beat the Pacific. It's too big.
When you say it's big, you make it sound like it's Orson Welles at Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, you know, how big is it?
And you can't beat that.
If Orson Welles came to Thanksgiving dinner, who do you think would eat the most?
I don't know because my ham would be missing.
It's Orson Welles and who?
Never mind. I opened a can of worms. Let's go on.
You know what they should
Welles
do? This
would the most, and Pacific is going to eat the most there.
Right.
So.
Oh. What they should do is like a fictional short film
mm-hmm.
where Orson Welles and Marlon Brando have a hot dog eating contest at Pink's. Wouldn't that be?
That is a brilliant or at Nathan's. Or at Nathan's, you know. Like,
yeah,
I
well,
like
no,
they both used to go to Pink's.
Yeah,
it's reported.
Wow, okay,
that was great.
Right.
I love that interview. That interview we did with the guy from Pink's, that was great.
Yeah,
he
said Marlon Brando holds the record for eating something like 19 hot dogs in one sitting.
Wow.
At Pink's.
I hope he had a lot of Maalox.
What the hell? Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, what did Orson Welles do?
When do we get to the movie part? I love TV, don't get me wrong, but when do we get to the movies?
Well, keep on going, Jamie.
Yeah, and then, you know, later that night when he went to the restroom, there was Rosebud. It just came out. All right.
That's good shit. That's good shit. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. All right, go ahead.
Best television series, musical or comedy, here they are, Big Bang Theory, The Big C, Glee, Modern Family, Nurse Jackie, 30 Rock.
Mm.
You know what?
I'm going to go
with Modern Family.
I'm going with Modern Family, too.
Really? The only reason I say the Big C is because the Globes like to pick, they like pick the newest thing
right.
that's hot.
Right,
so
you're right.
So I think they might go with that. But,
yeah, but
Modern Family is a good choice.
It's not that funny. That's the problem. It's not that funny.
Modern Family's got momentum.
Yeah.
Obviously, Laura Linney is terrific, and everything I hear about that show is just Laura Linney. I really don't hear much about the show.
Laura Linney. And
oh, okay. I don't know anything about it, so I haven't watched it.
Well, I've watched a number of episodes, and I'll tell you that Laura Linney is the reason to tune in.
Not
and,
the girl from Precious?
She's good too. It's good to see her. Like
so, if you have Marlon Brando, Orson Welles, and the girl from Precious in the short film,
I don't think
that's quite a wide angle lens.
That's so bad. That's so bad.
Yeah, we're horrible.
We're awful, man.
We're going to go to hell for this one for sure.
That's mean too.
Awful.
And here I have like at least 60 pounds on me that needs to go. So I'm not going to make. All right.
Let's go to the next category.
All right.
Best television series drama: Boardwalk Empire, Dexter, Good Wife, Mad Men, The Walking Dead. I'm glad The Walking Dead got a nomination.
I think The Walking Dead's going to get it.
That's really neat.
You don't think so? You really don't?
Really?
Okay.
You think
no
so?
No way. No way.
Really? No, because maybe you think Boardwalk Empire then?
Absolutely.
Of course.
I'm not saying like in a bad way. I mean, I just thought maybe because The Walking Dead has so much hype and so much.
Yeah, I love The Walking Dead. If it wasn't for Boardwalk Empire, I'd give it to Dean. Will you stay quiet for just a second? If it wasn't for Boardwalk Empire, I'd give it to The Walking Dead. But
mm-hmm.
Boardwalk Empire,
yeah,
is
you're
the
right.
myth in the room. You know?
Yeah, that's true. I think you got a good point there.
I think that Walking Dead's best days are ahead of it.
Yeah,
I think definitely. But that's quite a first. Season, even though it was only 6 episodes, it's quite an first season.
Yeah, yeah. Best foreign language film. Boy, we're running through these. Beautiful from Mexico,
mm-hmm.
Spain. The Concert from France. The Edge from Russia. I Am Love from Italy. And In a Better World from Denmark.
I've only seen one of these, I think.
You guys want to go first? Go ahead.
It's going to be beautiful.
I think you're right.
I'm going to go the other way, and I'm going to say The Concert from France.
Because I think it's Harvey Weinstein's probably lobbying like crazy for it.
That's right. And also because it's very crowd-pleasing.
Didn't play. I wanted to see it, but it didn't play that long here, so.
It's still up here, I think, somewhere in New York City, but I'm not really interested in it. Although I'm very interested in seeing the lead actress, you know, who was in Inglorious Bastards.
Yeah, Shoshana. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly. But
that was the attraction for me, but I just didn't make it, and it wasn't fast enough.
I think the concert's going to get it.
I think it's between Beautiful and I Am Love, and I think Beautiful is going to get it.
I think you're
right. I like how you say Beautiful. All right, go ahead.
Best animated film.
What's nominated? Let me see.
Despicable Me.
Mm-hmm.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Mm.
That's how I say the title. How to Train Your Dragon. I don't say How to Train Your Dragon.
It's like How to Drain Your Dragon.
Yes.
Yeah.
How to... we're on to the next title. The Illusionist, Tangled, and Toy Story 3.
I've seen 4 out of the 5 films here.
Well, we all know what it is.
It's going to be Toy Story 3, but I have to tell you, this is a year that I think Toy Story 3 is nothing short of perfect. But Despicable Me is very enjoyable. And How to Train Your Dragon is good, and Tangled is actually incredibly well done. But I do think it's Toy Story 3. But I would not, The Illusionist is supposed to be very good. But I don't see that. I see that has a better chance with Academy voters than with Globe, the Hollywood Foreign Press. The Illusionist is a, isn't it by the same people that did the Triplets of Belleville, Dean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
And it's based on a jock. Jacques Tati.
Yeah,
unfinished.
So
that has a lot of prestige with it, but I just don't see the Hollywood Foreign Press honoring that movie. I'm glad to see it get up here, but
All right. I think this is a tough race, and I think it's going to be the same race we're looking at for the Oscars.
Yeah.
In that it's going to be between Toy Story 3 and How to Train Your Dragon. And I do think that Toy Story 3 is going to pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I don't doubt that.
How to Train Your Dragon is going to be stiffer competition than, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that it's going to be a Pixar win.
Yeah, but the thing that's really interesting, is, and I like most of these films, is that you also have Despicable Me, which really turned out. Now, I don't know whether it was because of the 3D ticket prices, but I think after Toy Story 3, the most successful animated film of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't rule that out. And then what's really interesting is these films are actually really good. But I think Toy Story 3 is really just... I would give it to that just because it's, like many recent Pixar films, just works on a whole nother level. That's quite extraordinary and quite unexpected.
For me, Toy Story 3 is no more than a retread of Toy Story 2, which was really the most perfect film of the trilogy, and Toy Story 3 is merely a restating of all of the themes that came into Toy Story 2. I think Toy Story 2 is probably around the top 3 animated movies ever made. So I don't think much of Toy Story 3, but I don't deny that it's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to win the Oscar. It's going to win the Golden Globe. It's going to win everything. But for me, I have 2 movies that one that I've seen and one that I know that when I see it, I'm going to love it. The one that I know that I'm going to see that I'm going to love it is The Illusionist. And I like it because it's a cell animated movie. It's based on Jacques Tati, and you can't get any better than that.
Right.
And I think they have amazing, amazing respect for that. However, there's another movie that's not being talked about in the animated film category for either award situations.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Now, I don't know if you do. It's called My Dog Tulip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, My Dog Tulip,
I think. I went to go to see that at Film Forum up here, and it was brilliant. It is the first 2D animated movie that's done on computer, And it is a great movie about a subject that needs to be plumbed more, which is our relationship to our pets.
Well, there is a great movie that was made about that 10 years ago. Probably one of the best movies about, and that's My Dog Skip, and that's what this movie reminds me of.
That was a great movie. You're right. But
here's another thing. My dog Tulip it came and went like here like for a week, and
well, no
sadly,
one's gonna,
you know,
no one's gonna vote for it. But there might be that Secret of Kells kind of thing coming on.
Yeah, I think that's a possibility.
There might be that Secret of Kells thing coming on where animators actually know the importance of this movie.
Right.
And it might actually get in there over, and I'm talking about the Oscars specifically now, over Train Your Dragon, which I wasn't particularly impressed with except for the score. So anyway, that's my deal. But it's obviously going to be Toy Story 3.
Okay. All right. There you have it.
Okay, our next category is Best Original Score. And the nominees are 127 Hours by A.R. Rahman, Alice in Wonderland from Danny Elfman, Inception from Hans Zimmer, The King's Speech from Alexandre Desplat, The Social Network from Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. It's a three-way race.
Yeah,
those last three, they're hard to pick from.
Yeah, I mean, I have The Social Network and Inception on in the background on shuffle, and those are really...
And you guys haven't seen King's Speech, but I think that's the one that's going to win.
Well, yeah, he's a great composer, so wonderful composer. So it's a tough, That is a tough. But I would have put Clint Mansell for Black Swan. That's the one that I would. That's a great score too.
One of my favorite scores of the year is from a movie that's way out of the Oscar race, which is and I can't pronounce the guy's name who did it, so I'm not going to try. But it was from a movie called Splice. And that was one of my favorite scores of the year. I was really enthralled with that score. No one's going to pick that. So
no, that's a long
that's way out. That's way out. So, but
I was one. I did want to see Splice. I haven't been able to see it yet.
It's good stuff. Good stuff.
Dean, you and I may be the only people that liked it, because people who have seen it, a lot of my friends are like really repulsed by it, actually.
I've heard a lot of
people
brag about it. I mean, I can't wait to see it.
That is what it's supposed to do. It is a Cronenberg. It's Canadian, of course. It's very obviously Canadian. I was like watching it, and I was like, I didn't know it was Canadian. I was watching it, and I was like, is this movie Canadian or whatever?
Oh, my God. The Canadians are going to write it to us now.
No, it just had that feeling, you know. And then at the end, it said, oh, it's Canadian. Basically, it said, oh, thanks for
the Canadian, feeling. It left a taste of maple in my mouth.
there really is a Canadian feeling to movies. There truly is. It's been going on since at least as far as I know since the 80s. But that movie has a great score to it, and it's a really good movie that's very Cronenbergian, who is also Canadian, of course. And I think that's one of the most underrated movies of the year. That said, I'm going with King's Speech.
All right.
What are you guys going with?
I'm going with Inception.
I'm going with Inception, too.
That's a good choice, too, because that really is a more overpowering score, but they're going to go for King's Speech. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Best Original Song, Motion Picture. A Song from Burlesque called Down to You. No, not Down to You. Bound to You.
Oh, well, that's a completely different meaning now, isn't it?
Yeah, man. I'm changing my opinion even before I hear it. All right.
That's Christina Aguilera's song.
Wow.
And then another burlesque song, You Haven't Seen the Last of Me, which is Cher's song, written by Diane Warren, who's no stranger to writing, you know, Oscar-winning or award-winning movie songs. Country Strong... That Gwyneth Paltrow song.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that movie coming out?
I thought that was in January it's supposed to come out, but I guess it's...
Okay.
I guess it has a qualifying run.
Yeah.
It's gonna open. Coming Home is the name. Coming Home is the name of the song. The Chronicles of Narnia, a song called There's a Place for Us, sung by Carrie Underwood. And a song called I See the Light, written by Alan Menken for Tangled.
Tangled, Mike. I'm going to go with Tangled. I don't remember the song in Narnia. I mean, did the lion sing a song and I went to the bathroom during that scene?
The lion.
I'm serious.
It's probably the song that they play in the closing credits.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Not having seen it, it sounds like Carrie Underwood sings it. It's probably a closing credits song.
Oh, okay, yeah. That makes sense. Okay. Wow. Okay.
Okay. So I'll go with
my
Tangled.
Choice. You're going
with
Tangled.
What would you go with?
I would go with the country song. The country strong song. Yeah, I think that's what.
Mm.
Yeah, I've heard great stuff about. That's the duet, right? That's done with Tim McGraw or something.
I don't know. I don't know.
It doesn't say here.
It's the duet. I think that's the one. You know, of course, the song "Country Strong" that she sang at the CMA Awards or whatever is a song that was done before and is being appropriated for this movie. So, but I've heard that the duet is even a better song. So I'm going with "Country Strong."
Okay. Best Screenplay Motion Picture. And the nominees are 127 Hours, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, and The Social Network. Now, Golden Globes doesn't separate adapted from original.
Okay.
So this isn't necessarily representative of everything you'll see in the Oscars, obviously.
No, this is very dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
Because you have two. You have is a King's Speech based on an adapt? Is that an adaptation or is that an original idea?
No, I don't know.
I think
it wasn't. I think it's I think it's adapted.
It is.
Me.
I think it is too.
This is a tough category.
Not for me.
No, well, you have three superb writer. And/or directors here. I think 127 Hours is really the geniuses, and really Franco's performance is really the glue of that movie. That's not a slight at Danny Boyle at all. But I think with the screenplay, the writing though, Nolan, Sorkin, and Cholodenko here, that's a tough call. But I'd have to, God, here it's I narrow it down to Nolan and Sorkin. And that's a tough thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. I can't. One is just wholly original from Nolan, and the other one is Sorkin has just made this. Has adapted the book, the Ben Mezrich book, and just created something otherworldly. I mean, it's amazing. And I don't know. I can't pick between those two.
Really? You can't pick?
Dude, the Social Network is real. The first 5 minutes of The Social Network. The banter back and forth between the two of them is something out of a 1940s comedy of manners on crack.
Well, first of all, Jerry, you're right. And my prediction for the Oscars is that both of these movies will win the Oscar.
For their
I think Inception will win. Yeah, Inception will win Best Original Screenplay, and The Social Network will win Adapted.
Mm-hmm.
For the Golden Globes, I think it'll go. I don't want to say that yet because I'll be giving away the last category.
Okay.
But I think it'll go to The Social Network for best screenplay for the Golden Globes.
Okay. All right.
I agree. I agree completely, 100%. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Sorkin's going to win that award, and he will win the Oscar as well because there's no movie. You know, we live in a time where dialogue is actually the most important thing in movies, and when you come to The Social Network, there's no better dialogue in any movie this year, I don't think, and it's absolutely going to be that.
Like the voice of God.
And plus, when you think, I mean, he is the behemoth writer.
Yeah.
of everyone up for an award here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
true.
That's what he does. You know,
right.
He's yeah. You know.
Yeah.
All right. Best director, motion picture.
Okay, are you going to read them or do you want
to? I'll
pull out the suspense as long as I can.
Is there a drum roll?
No, I don't have a drum roll.
It's like my wet dream, almost.
Too bad.
Best director, motion picture. Here we go. The nominees are Darren Aronofsky for Black Swan, David Fincher for The Social Network, Tom Hooper, so sorry,
Mr. Hooper.
The King's Speech, Christopher Nolan for Inception, and David O. Russell for The Fighter.
I know what I'm picking.
Dude, four of those guys are like my idols. And, God, it's like asking me to cut off a finger. It really is.
They are all exceptionally.
And ain't
well
even Hooper, because Hooper did John Adams, which is a great miniseries. So you got to give him props too.
Hooper did a great job on that movie too. I have to say, he did a really great job.
This is tough. I want to say Nolan. I want to really go with Nolan because he didn't get anything for The Dark Knight. Did he? He didn't get a Golden Globe for The Dark Knight. Even a nomination, I think, or?
I
did
think
he not
the most...
even get with the Golden Globes? Did he not get a nomination with the Golden Globes?
I don't
remember.
My memory's not good. I have the old person's disease, so.
You know, the problem here is that the most inventive direction of these are Christopher Nolan and Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah.
Yes.
But they take risks. I think the person that's going to win the award...
Mm-hmm.
Is the one who mutes his own style.
Oh, Russell?
The most. No, Fincher.
I agree completely. That's all I got to say about this category.
I mean, isn't it weird, though? Because, I mean, Fincher almost, you know, obviously he didn't. I mean, the movie is directed. I mean, the movie has a direction.
Right.
He's almost in the background, because if he were to impart any of his usual flares, it would be distracting from the material.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
You know what,
I see
Jamie,
where you're coming from. Okay.
You know what, Jamie, though? I think that in the future, when we go back and revisit Social Network, I think we will find much more adventure than we do now. I think we'll find a lot more of Fincher than we do
I mean, I am judging from the movies that Fincher has given us so far.
Mm-hmm. I know, but I still think that it's definitely of a piece of body of work, and I'm not saying that about like Benjamin Button, for instance, which I don't think is a piece of a body of work. But I do think that David Fincher is going to walk away.
See, and personally, I think Benjamin Button is underrated and Social Network is overrated.
Oh, interesting. I think Benjamin Button is just nothing but Forrest Gump and other clothes.
I don't think it's I don't see the Forrest Gump thing. I think it's easy to say that, but I don't see the Forrest Gump thing. I think maybe on the surface, but when you get beneath it, and I do think the film, you can get beneath the surface of the film.
And I think it's saying something completely different than Forrest Gump. So.
Yeah.
Well, the last 30 minutes of Benjamin Button actually like make you forget the Forrest Gump. So, but the first 2 hours don't.
Best performance by an actress. Now, who did you say you thought it was going to be? Nolan, right, Jerry?
Yeah, I was Nolan.
Okay. And The Fighter is very, very, very good. You know, it's so odd because even when the Oscar, you saw this last year, even when the Oscar nominations come out and the award ceremony is 3 weeks later or whatever that shortened window is,
yeah.
Even from the time of the nomination announcement to the ceremony, there's all this back and forth, and you can sense among some of the front runners that public opinion on them is
turning,
weakening. Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Happened
it's
up
true.
In the air.
Yeah. It did.
Yeah. Exactly. Before. Yeah. That's exactly it. So I mean, there's no telling in the long run. Maybe The Social Network will, like, go down a couple of notches
right.
by the time of the Oscars because it's won
true.
Everything under the sun, and The Fighter will, like, pick up
in
a steam.
Or
right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, right. You don't know. But Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role in a Motion Picture, Amy Adams, The Fighter, Helena Bonham Carter for The King's Speech, Mila Kunis for Black Swan, Melissa Leo for The Fighter, and Jackie Weaver for Animal Kingdom.
Hmm. That Jackie Weaver nomination is great. And
yeah, it's and well-deserved.
And she's definitely in there for the Oscars, that's for sure.
I think
she won't win,
right.
of course, but it'll make a big difference in her career, and we'll
yeah.
be seeing more of her. For me, on this thing, I'm going to go with Amy Adams.
Well, she's playing against type. I think I would actually – I haven't seen the movie. I know for a fact she's playing against type. I would reward her for that.
She's great.
I would also have to say, though, kind of, you know, while I would right now, even without having seen the film, give it to her, you know, they might give it to Melissa Leo because I hear that she's great, too, in the film.
Well, for one, we can definitely agree that it's going to go to one of the actresses from The Fighter.
And it's going to go to out of the two of those, I would say it will go to Amy Adams.
Okay, no, that's a fair.
I think you'll agree after you watch it.
Yeah, no, I can't wait. No, she's proven slowly that she can break out of some of the things that she gets typecast in, such as Sunshine Cleaning, where she definitely breaks out. But I think here it seems like a complete, like, we've never seen this side of her before. And
yeah.
from what I've heard is she walks away with the movie to an extent. Like,
and everybody. Plus, Amy Adams is the star of the five nominees. She's the absolute, out of all five of those nominees, she's the absolute first-rate star. She's completely, from top to bottom, a star.
Right.
And whatever she does, and it doesn't matter how big the role is or whatever, I knew she was going to be big a long time ago when Catch Me If You Can came out, and I thought, wow, that girl in Catch Me If You Can was amazing. Who is she? And then, of course, Junebug came out, and I was
oh my God.
Was she in Catch Me If You Can? Who'd she play in Catch Me If You Can?
She was the girl.
Oh, the girlfriend. Martin Sheen's daughter.
She was the girlfriend that had the braces on her teeth,
and then
was going to be his wife before he decided
right.
to run away. And I just thought, I was like, I didn't know who she was and everything, but I looked at that movie and I said, man, I just love that Amy Adams. She was just the best. When Junebug came out, I was like, I'm a total fan. She's a complete star. And
all right, I got you. You got your crush. Okay, hang on.
Yeah, I do.
this might be rolling on the line. I'm not sure. 310 area code.
Yeah, it's rolling, man.
Hey, guys.
Hey, man.
Hey.
Before we say anything, congratulations to you, because we haven't talked since the news, so just wanted to say congratulations.
Well, the news is that you're engaged, right?
To Dean.
Wow. Nice.
Yeah. How you been?
I can tell you're excited.
Yeah, I mean, really, Roland, you're just like,
he's
really?
Blushing. He's blushing right now. That's why.
Oh, he's not blushing.
Yeah.
He's blushing because you're on the phone, okay? I mean,
yeah.
Christ.
Everybody has a crush on me.
Oh,
yeah.
Especially Orson Welles and Marlon Brando.
Roland, how are you, man?
Welcome
I'm good.
Back.
I'm sorry. I just had my mouth full with a double stuffed Oreo.
I don't know if I need to hear that.
I didn't know if I really needed to hear that either, but thank
what
you so much for sharing that.
What have you been up to, Roland? Just give us an update. What's going on?
It's just same old stuff with you. Got engaged.
You got engaged?
Yeah.
Oh, God, and he's doing an accent, too.
Nice. No.
All right, so Roland, we're talking about the Golden Globe nominations. Do you have any thoughts, or...?
I saw them yesterday morning. Kind of, all right. What you'd expect, really.
Right.
I was just listening to you guys talk about Amy Adams, though, and, I think she's just incredible.
Yeah, I saw Leap Year a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. Leap Year was the one that Roland was over the
moon.
No,
it wasn't bad. It was, she's very charming in it. Matthew Good, who was in Brideshead, was, you know... It's nice to see him. So
I
guess it wasn't really as bad as everyone made it out to be.
My fiance saw that on TV the other day, and she thought it was appalling.
Well, you liked it. I mean, don't lie. I mean, we have proof that you liked it.
I know.
He regrets that calling in and talking about it.
I really do regret it.
It was all right. I could take or leave it. I mean.
What's a movie that you cried in? You said that you cried in a certain movie. I forget which one it was.
Who, me?
Oh, I've never cried in a movie.
I cry all the time because either
no,
it's
talking,
good.
I'm talking about Roland. Roland,
oh, okay.
you said that you were like deep. It was a syrupy romantic movie, and you said that you were deeply moved by it, that you cried during it.
Oh, I know it was. Wasn't it Blindside or something?
Yeah, it was Everyone cried during the Blindside, though.
Well, for the purpose
of
this conversation,
When you watch Blindside for a second time and you see it in the background TV, it doesn't really stand up.
Of course, that's true. That's very true.
The movie, actually, the first time you watch it, it blindsides you, doesn't it?
That's really good.
Thank you, man. So, Roland, here you go. As long as we all speak one at a time...
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
Would you like to stay on and help us predict the winners for these last few categories?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
That'd be very nice.
Good. All right,
like
Dean,
that.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening.
Okay.
Roland,
have you met Dean?
I haven't.
Okay.
Oh,
you just
really?
Did.
You haven't? Okay. All right. But have you listened to the show when I'm on?
He doesn't listen. He's not listening to the show now.
He's got better things to do, Dean.
Well, I love you, Roland. You're
oh,
amazing.
Oh, my God.
You're great.
Yeah,
great
Dean
on the show.
Me as the regular caller.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. All right.
Yeah.
Best performance by an actor in a supporting role. Here are the nominees: Christian Bale for The Fighter, Michael Douglas for Wall Street, Money Never Sleeps. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to call on each of you to give your opinion. All right? So wait until you're called. It's like we're in grade school.
Okay.
Andrew Garfield for The Social Network. That's a good nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy Renner for The Town. Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech. Roland, buddy, what do you think?
The only one I haven't seen yet is The King's Speech. Out of those four others, my favorite one would be, I said, well, that's probably one of the strongest categories. I think I haven't seen The Fighter yet, but I've seen that this weekend. I think it'll probably go to Christian Bale from what I can kind of get the impression of the way things are, but I thought Andrew Garfield's performance was great.
Yeah. Dean, what do you think?
Christian Bale, no doubt.
Sure.
I love Andrew Garfield in that movie, but I think, again, his best days are before him. And also, I have to say that Jeffrey Rush is incredible in the movie, and also he has something else running for him in that it's really a lead performance, just like Colin Firth is. He has just as much time, just as many lines, if not more, than Colin Firth does in the movie, because Colin Firth can't speak in the movie, so he has more lines in the movie. But it's going to be Christian Bale, no doubt about it,
right.
No question about it.
Unlike, you know, when Holly Hunter won, and she had all that dialogue for the piano.
Yeah.
Jerry, what do you think?
I think Holly Hunter for the piano. I'm sure Christian Bale is absolutely phenomenal in the movie, but I actually think Michael Douglas is going to walk home with this.
Sympathy vote? You really think the sympathy vote is going to get in?
I think he's, dude, he's, I really do think that. I'm not going to rule against another performance that's very good in taking into consideration is Jeremy Renner in The Town. That's the only nomination that film got, surprisingly. But I think every performance that I've seen is very good. The Michael Douglas one is actually the weakest one, but they might give it to him. That's the performance that he won the Oscar for, and I think he might, if he's nominated in the Oscars, I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Okay. I don't think that he's gonna make it.
The winner
Wait,
is going to be...
Wait, you don't think he's
going to
make it, like he's going to get nominated, or he's going to die before then?
I don't think that he's going to... I don't think gonna that
pull
he's going to be nominated.
Finch?
I don't think that he's going to win, and I don't think he's going to be nominated for the Oscar. But I do think that Jeremy Renner is going to make it into the Oscars, that's for sure. But it's going to be Christian Bale, let's face it.
Okay,
yeah,
the winner...
Amazing Christian.
The winner is going to be Christian Bale.
Okay,
he is this year's Heath Ledger. There's no way around it.
Mm-hmm. There's no way around it. It's locked up already.
Or you mean this year's Christoph Waltz?
Yeah.
One in that category every, you know, two, one every
right.
time, every nomination.
It's one of those, like, foregone conclusion categories, and a lot of times it happens in this supporting category.
No, you're right. Okay. I just thought I'd throw that out there, but okay.
No, I mean, that's good. That's good. I want differences of opinion.
I always want that.
All right. Best performance by an actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Anne Hathaway for Love and Other Drugs. Angelina Jolie for The Tourist. Julianne Moore for The Kids Are All Right. Emma Stone for Easy A. My thought is that it's going to be Annette Bening for The Kids Are All Right. Dean, what are you saying?
I don't think it's going to win, but it should go to Julianne Moore. I think that Julianne Moore has a much more difficult role in that movie and has a lot more screen time also. And it mystifies me that people were originally putting Julianne Moore in the supporting category because they're obviously, like, running neck and neck in that movie. So it's like, in fact, it's so obvious that actually Julianne Moore actually makes it above Annette Bening. But I think that Annette Bening is going to win because people want her to win.
Well, Hilary Swank's not nominated, so it helps.
Yeah.
Jerry, do you think the same or no?
Oh, no, let Roland go first. He's a guest, so let him go.
All right, Roland, do you think the same or not?
I haven't seen any of those movies. I want to see The Kids Are All Right, but I'd like Annette Bening to win something or Julianne Moore out of those ones.
Okay.
Either one of them, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they're both great, actually.
Roland, are you down? Are you, like, all of a sudden engaged and you're down? You're not your usual chipper self.
No, I'm just talking quietly so I don't get heckled from the bed.
Yeah, no, I felt very bad, Jamie. I thought it was my fault that we had to go to this grade school system.
You have to learn how to, like, one of the things that I'm learning on the show is trying to shut up at the right time.
Well, you can start by doing it now.
I'm failing tonight because I feel good. You know, I feel really good.
Call us back when you feel lousy.
Okay.
When I feel lousy, I stay silent.
Roland, right. you could perk up. I mean, you could talk. I'm just when we're all talking over each other.
Yeah, no,
it's
my fault.
It's not your fault. It's not anybody's fault. I just set a rule so the show.
Okay, I want to give my prediction though.
Yes.
I would love to see one of the two actresses from The Kids Are All Right get it, but I'm afraid it could be like Thelma and Louise where they cancel each other out.
You're correct.
But I got to say, and I will never live down what I'm about to say. I think Emma Stone should get it because there's a category that's such an off-the-wall category anyways, a musical or comedy. Her performance in Easy A is... that they would even think about nominating this is like the Jackie Weaver nomination in some way, so out of left field that I say give it to her. She's great in it, and it's such a charming movie because of her. I would actually give it to her, but I would like, you know, like everyone else, Annette Bening or Julianne Moore get it, but I'm afraid they'll cancel each other out.
I think that Jerry is right on the money there in terms of the canceling out situation, and also in terms of the Golden Globes does like to pepper their love towards things that are new, and Emma Stone has, you know, has gotten a lot of press about this thing, and it would be a very, very, like, newsworthy thing for Emma Stone to, like, get to trump those two actresses that we're talking about. So it might be Emma Stone, might be the Hilary Swank here for Annette Bening.
I think they would give it to Annette, though, just because, my God, Hilary Swank didn't get it for Conviction, So just let the woman win already.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody wants Annette, at least as far as we're going now. I mean, when we get to the Oscars, it's different. But as far as we're going now, I think people really want Annette Bening to win something. And she's great in the movie, but I think that Julianne Moore is much better.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, because of the role. That's it.
Okay. Best performance by an actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. The nominees are Johnny Depp for The Tourist, Johnny Depp for Alice in Wonderland. Obviously,
yeah.
They want Johnny Depp to show up at the awards. Paul Giamatti for Barney's Version, Jake Gyllenhaal for Love and Other Drugs, and Kevin Spacey for Casino Jack. A lot of these nominations you're not going to see at the Oscars. I would say probably...
I would say probably
all of them you won't see
at
the Oscars.
Yeah,
that's true.
Roland, what do you think?
I haven't seen any of them, but I'd be very surprised if Johnny Depp doesn't get it.
For which one?
That is so cynical. That is so
the Tourist or Alice in Wonderland?
Unworthy.
Alice in Wonderland.
Wow.
Okay.
Well, that is the money. That's the money winner. That's the big one.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, you just hit it on the head, Roland.
Yeah.
My prediction is Johnny Depp. My prediction is Johnny Depp for Alice in Wonderland, too.
Yeah. Did you guys see Johnny Depp on Letterman the other day?
Yeah.
Was it good? Well, I mean, like, did he make an impression? Like, what happened?
Oh, he's a cool guy. I think he's
incredible. I mean,
he's lovely. I love him. You know, he's the best.
I just think these two movies are so. He doesn't give. I mean, it's not that he doesn't give his all. It's just something's off. You know, he's so charismatic, and especially in The Tourist, that charisma's not there. Ironically,
mm-hmm.
Boy, The Tourist looks like. I have to say that The Tourist. I saw somebody say this, and so I'm not going to appropriate it, but I can't attribute it to them, but. Somebody said that the production photos for The Tourist are actually look more interesting than the actual movie.
I believe it.
And I feel that same way. Like, looking at the previews, I was like, I ain't going to see this. I don't care if the director of The Lives of Others did it or not. I'm not going to watch it.
It looks like a better postcard than a movie.
Yeah. That, Jamie, that's the best thing I've ever heard said about the film. You're absolutely right.
Knowing the Golden Globes, I think they're going to give it to Alice in Wonderland, Johnny Depp and Alice in Wonderland, just because they're the Golden Globes.
I'm parting with all of you, and I'm going to say that Paul Giamatti is going to get in there. I think that Paul Giamatti is great, and I think that they are going to realize that out of all five of those actors, he's the best one out of all of them, and he's got he's got a starring role here. And I haven't seen the movie yet, so I'm not going to say that.
No, I've heard it's a big role for him. Like the character is very, very prominent. And I just submitted an interview request for him, and so hopefully we'll be able to interview him on the 5th of January because that's the press day.
I feel like about Paul Giamatti like I do about. And I could see them having drinks together. I feel about Paul Giamatti like I do about Steve Buscemi.
You'll give him the award because you can see you having drinks with him. Isn't that the same as voting for George Bush because you can have a beer with him?
Dean, can you see Russia from your apartment?
Yes, actually, because I live in a very highly Russian neighborhood. So, yes, I do see Russian from my apartment. It's like completely Russian around here. I hear Russian all the time, Russian restaurants, and I'm eating
I'm
Russian.
I'm sorry.
Speaking of Russian, can we rush to the next category?
Please do.
Paul Giamatti.
What did you think, Jerry? What did you think would win out of the five?
I think you guys are right. Definitely right about Alice in Wonderland. I'd be surprised now if it's not. But if I had to pick of the performances that I've seen, I would have to go with Jake Gyllenhaal. But I'm just basing it on a preference. I like him, and I actually think that he's good in this movie, but it's not going to go that way. It's just the movie didn't take off.
Out of these five, I like him. I mean, I like him.
Yeah.
He was the performance I was most impressed by in that movie, actually.
Yeah, because I think the sad thing, I mean, and I told you the other day, and I think I said on the last show about The Tourist, The Tourist has all the ingredients to work, and yet it never has a spark. It's really, for me, the big disappointment, like Public Enemies, was that...
And that's like how you know...
Yeah.
What's really amazing about The Tourist is that it had it all. It had the director, it had the two stars, everybody, you think that everybody would want to see it, and then when it hits, it's like, whoa, I don't want to see this. It's like when you see the preview, you're like, I do not want to see this. This is their best foot forward to try and sell this movie, and they cannot do it, and that's because there's no
It feels like a movie that was prepackaged but not executed. It's like when Corman used to sell a movie based on a poster before he even made the movie.
Right, you're right.
That's exactly right.
Best performance by an actress in a motion picture drama. This is interesting. The first nominee is Halle Berry for a movie called Frankie and Alice, where she plays a woman with multiple personalities.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to pull something like they did last year. You know, because we had a definite nominees for Best Actor, and then really late in the game, Fox Searchlight saw that they had Crazy Heart in their vault, and they said, let's try to push this for Best Actor. And so that was like a last-ditch Hail Mary that worked.
I think this is going to work, too. Yeah.
And they're trying the same for Halle Berry. But the other nominations are for Nicole Kidman in Rabbit Hole, Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, Natalie Portman for Black Swan, Michelle Williams for Blue Valentine. This is a really strong category.
Oh, it's an incredible category.
It's mind-boggling, actually, this category. It's very hard to do.
Now, Roland, I know you haven't seen any of them, but what would your guess be?
Oh, sorry. I was tuned out. Say that again?
This isn't laughing, Dean. Please.
All right.
Halle Berry.
Halle Berry for the schizophrenic. Nicole Kidman for the grieving mother. Jennifer Lawrence for the really poor country girl in the woods. Natalie Portman for the psychotic ballet dancer. Michelle Williams for whatever she does in Blue Valentine.
Oh, Natalie Portman, hands down.
Yeah. And they're all great. But I'd have to go with Roland, Natalie Portman. This is her year.
Yeah.
I agree that it is Natalie Portman's year. It's almost no question, although I have to say that I'm really rooting for, you know, that preview for Blue Valentine is just so brilliant. I love it, where she's dancing to Ryan Gosling doing that song. And I have to say, I'm really looking forward to Blue Valentine. That said, though, I have a really good friend here in town that actually worked on Winter's Bone. Actually, it did a lot of work on Winter's Bone. And as much as we love Jennifer Lawrence, you know, again, her best days are before her or ahead of her. I have to say, he told me tonight, as I was talking to him, he said, Nicole Kidman is so brilliant in Rabbit Hole.
Mm-hmm.
He could not believe how great she was in it.
I bet she is.
I bet the subject matter, but it also seems like, you know, she gives a kind of the performance that we know her for, that you see in Eyes Wide Shut or something, and it seems like that kind of performance. I mean, that scene in the trailer where why, if he's God, why couldn't he just make an angel? He's God. And that kind of, like, sarcastic wit comes out in this most, you know, devastating of circumstances for a married couple.
She needed a movie like this, because I feel like she's been kind of riding on, as an actress, she's kind of been riding on performances from a long time ago.
She,
she's been working too much, I think.
She's been working too much. Like,
she hasn't been as selective as she should be.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? I mean, she hasn't been in a movie in like a year and a half or 2 years.
Please. There was a there was a year when she did 4 movies and none of them were any good. That,
yeah,
that's her Bewitched.
It's very true, but we have not seen Nicole Kidman in a movie for at least 2 years. Am I right? Am I wrong about that? Have I forgotten something?
No, she was in 9. She was terrible in 9.
Oh, right. But that was like, what was she in?
Nine was very disappointing, but...
I didn't even watch that movie. I didn't
Well, all right,
that's movie.
Something you did not watch. Okay, that's good. Okay.
Yeah. No, because I don't watch things that I think are going to be shit.
Bottom line, I love. Right. I actually love 9. 9 was one of my favorite
movies. I like, you know, Marion Cotillard. I liked her performance. And Fergie, I thought Fergie really stole the movie of everyone involved.
Yeah. And when did you think you'd ever say that? say that sentence.
Yeah, I did. I did not. I never thought I would say that. As your point is well taken.
That is shocking.
Okay, here's the thing with the awards. I think that Nicole Kidman, in terms of awards, I mean, she might give the best performance of the group. But in terms of awards, she's already had her time in the sun, you know?
For Virginia Woolf?
Yeah. So I think it's going to be Natalie Portman. I think the only competition, a pleasant surprise, would be Michelle Williams. But I think that Natalie Portman is the front runner.
I just have to say, I have not seen one movie that Michelle Williams was in unless it looked like a total piece of shit and I completely disregarded it. But I have not seen one movie that Michelle Williams was in that I just was not completely, completely taken with her. That said, it's going to be Natalie Portman. No question.
Yeah. People love Michelle Williams. And she's about to play Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how this plays out because I think this is like the best supporting actress. And the Best Supporting Actor category is fascinating. But I think the Best Actor category, as it is right now, which we're about to go to, is just, whoa.
Roland, did you like The Social Network?
It's been a great movie for years. It's been a great year for movies. It's been a great year for movies.
Roland, did you like The Social Network?
Yeah. It's probably the standout movie of the year, easily for me.
Okay.
Much better than the much more than Inception. I actually was one of the few people on the planet that didn't like Inception that much.
That's not true, Roland. A lot of people, but much more sizable chunk of people. I want to watch it again. I mean, I thought it was very good and everything, but it's not my favorite movie of the year, not by a long shot. But I do like. I think it's a very bold movie. I like there are parts of it I really like, but there are other movies I liked even more, much more.
Shows you what a great year it was too. I'm sorry, Roland, but that just shows you what a great year it was because in any other year, Inception would look like a fucking masterpiece. But and actually, I think Inception is amazing. I was blown away. And I went into that movie like expecting absolutely nothing. I expected absolutely nothing. I was like sitting there, okay, impress me. And it did.
Roland brings up a good point, though. He's not alone in that thought. This is the problem. This is a sign of a good movie, though, also, that there, for a movie to be truly, I think, worth its salt, there has to be an equal number of those who were, you know, not blown away by those that were blown away. And I think Roland brings up, Roland's opinion is very valid here and is a welcome change because you just can't heap praise upon something because then what's the point? There has to be a different opinion. There has to be what you bring to the movie, and that's what's refreshing about Roland is that he does bring a different perception, and it's very rewarding.
Well, Christopher Nolan is one of my favorite directors. Yeah. DiCaprio is one of the best, you know, if not the best actor of his generation at the moment out there, I think, with Matt Damon.
We talked about that a couple of months ago,
The cinematography in that movie is outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
But there's just not enough emotional content. I mean, it just loses me as it goes on. I mean, obviously...
But don't you feel the same way about Social Network? I mean, when I think Social Network, I don't necessarily think it's emotionally, like, front and center.
But it's gripping. It's gripping. I mean, with Inception, do you really care if they extract the information or plant the idea? In the, do you really care about the consequences that might? I just stopped caring. And
right.
The backstory with his wife.
I wish they did that for my physics test in high school. But okay.
The backstory with his wife kind of it petered out a lot.
I kind of agree with Roland in the sense that, you know, as far as we're going to emotions, that I don't think that Inception is about, I don't think that it's Inception's, you know, strength is in emotion. I think there's a strength is in movement and also in well, frankly, to tell you the truth, if any movie wins the editing Oscar this year, it's going to be Inception. And I think that Inception is actually a feat of an incredible feat of editing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it is essentially, and also scoring, to tell you the truth, in a lot of ways, and visual effects. So, you know, I won't be surprised if Zimmer wins scoring, and I won't be surprised if it wins editing and special effects.
Right.
But I think it will win original screenplay, too.
I think original screenplay, yeah.
I don't think so because, you know.
You think the kid's all right?
Well, you know, for me personally, I'm just a Mike Lee fan, and I think that Roland will, like, center in on this since you're from that country, but like I think that Mike Lee deserves the original screenplay Oscar like hands down, no question. But I don't think he'll win it. But when are they going to give Mike Lee the Oscar? I mean, how many movies is he going to have to do? I mean, he's been making movies since 1971, and every single one of them are original screenplays, and every single one of them are astounding. When are they going to give this man the Oscar? Are they going to have to wait until he's like 85 and give him the Oscar?
I see him winning an honorary Oscar.
Yeah,
he's going to. But to me, he deserves the original screenplay Oscar. There's no question about it. He deserves.
For me, Inception will win original screenplay because of the word original.
Well, the problem with Inception is this. It has a major problem in the sense that a lot of the screenplay is exposition. It's explaining and explaining and explaining. I don't think the strength.
And people
of,
still don't understand it, no matter how much you explain it.
Well, there you go. See, there you're pointing to.
It is an original screenplay that people actually went out in droves to see, and that was a real point of encouragement for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that the writers are going to agree. That's all I'm saying.
How about Aaron Sorkin? You guys aren't going for that.
What?
Aaron Sorkin.
Yes.
Oh. Well, that's adapted.
That's adapted. Yeah. I would say that he has that hands. I think he has that locked up.
Me too. No question.
Okay.
He's locked up. He's locked up for the Oscar. No question. No question. Especially the Oscar because there's that split. But
I mean, to me, that is the outstanding script that I've stands out for me.
I agree completely.
Okay, we got to get to Best Performance by an Actor in a Motion Picture Drama. The nominees are Jesse Eisenberg for The Social Network, Colin Firth for The King's Speech, James Franco for 127 Hours, Ryan Gosling for Blue Valentine, Mark Wahlberg for The Fighter.
Wow, how did Mark Wahlberg get in there since he's sitting in the background most of the movie?
Yeah, well, he is the lead character, but he's a very muted character in that movie. I mean, he doesn't stand a chance of winning, and I don't think he'll be nominated for an Oscar. But he's very good. But
it is brave for him to stand in the background.
Yes,
we have
yes.
to say that. That's a very brave actorly choice.
You know what I think is going to happen at the Golden Globes, and I don't think it'll happen at the Oscars. I think Jesse Eisenberg's going to win the Golden Globe for Best Actor.
Wow.
That's a definitely deserving. I mean,
he's amazing in the movie.
Yeah, he is.
Really,
I mean, it's a. I'm gonna go with Franco just because I think right now that's where the momentum is. But that's just me.
Roland,
I think that could change.
I'd like Jesse Eisenberg to get it. I think maybe he's a bit too young to be winning awards. Maybe they're going to.
Not at all.
Maybe they think, well, you know, he's got years to come or something. Maybe that will sway the voting. But as far as his performance, I mean, it sounds terrible to say it, but it's probably going to be the role of his entire career.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think it is the role that Jesse Eisenberg is born to play, and I think that in a lot of ways, and I think he's brilliant in the movie, no question about it. I think it's going to go to Colin Firth because there's sympathy for him because
he did
the single man, and I think he's put forth so many things in the past, and it is a great performance. I think, and we got to remember too that King's Speech is the leading movie in the nominations here.
Mm-hmm.
It has got 7 nominations as opposed to a lot of the other things which got 6 or 5 or whatever. So they're going to have to give something to this King's Speech, and I think that's going to be the one.
All right. I think Colin Firth's going to win the Oscar for the King's Speech for Best Actor.
Oh, okay.
But Jesse Eisenberg will win the Golden Globe.
Oh, interesting.
I think you might be right there, Jamie.
Yeah,
thank you, dude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I think so. But I was just going to Franco, I think, has that, like, what Clooney had with... I think, I'm like, these two movies, Black Swan and 127 Hours, have that up-in-the-air, might have the up-in-the-air curse.
Right.
Well, Black Swan doesn't have any chance or 127 Hours to take away anything, to tell you the truth. And I'm not letting my view of 127 Hours paint that or whatever, but I think that everybody's waiting for James Franco to do better stuff, so...
All right, last two categories. Best Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. The nominees are Alice in Wonderland, Burlesque.
This
I gotta laugh
every time. Category.
The Kids Are All Right, Red, and The Tourist.
Red, how'd that get in there?
Red
a fun movie, but
there.
How did that get in there?
Not the Krzysztof Kieslowski movie.
No, I realized that.
If they're going to nominate Red, why didn't they just go ahead and nominate Greenberg, which is obviously one of the great movies of the year.
Yeah, well, that's asking too much.
It is asking too much. By the way, I just want to say, Elle Magazine, which is the Brooklyn magazine that comes out here, 4 out of 5 critics picked Greenberg as one of the top 10 movies of the year.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's a great movie. We're both in agreement. That's a great movie. I mean, a magnificent movie. I wouldn't put it in comedy, though.
Mm-hmm.
Of course it's a comedy. I mean, it's as much of a comedy. How is Red a comedy?
Well, Red is a...
Or The Tourist.
Okay. Well, can we get to the predictions, please?
Well, we all know. You know what? It's going to be real easy to predict this category, so we'll be moving on. And we all know what it is, right?
You think it's
going
to be Alice in Wonderland?
It's going to be The Kids Are All Right.
All right, no. Okay, good. No, that's a bold choice. I don't see the Golden Globes being that open-minded. I think that would be a brilliant choice, and it would send a message. But I don't know if they might go for something not as good.
Oh, come on. They're not going to do that. I mean,
it's not like we're dealing with the Comrades Association. We're dealing with the Hollywood Foreign Press. No one's ever met a member of the Hollywood Foreign Press.
why are we talking about it even?
I know, but I mean, it's like, it's no, but I'd have to say, I know, if it was The Kids Are All Right, I think it'd be wonderful. But what is the other films nominated in this category? Alice in Wonderland.
The
Tourist.
Red.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alice in Wonderland, just because it made so much money, is going to get it.
Nah.
All right. I think...
Yeah.
I think that The Kids Are All Right obviously is the most deserving of this.
Yeah,
it's the only one that's going to be nominated for Best Picture, the Oscars, out of these five.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's the reason. That's the reason right there.
But I also think that they're going to give it to Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me. You really think that?
Yeah.
That's
an outrage.
You just save your energy, man. Get
not
a,
deserving.
Have another Red Bull.
No. I'm just trying to add some lively conversation.
Roland, what do you think?
I think The Kids Are All Right probably as well, yeah.
Okay. That's what should win.
I agree. It should
completely agree.
I don't think that there's any possibility that anything else can get in there.
All right. So what do we get you to do if Jerry and I are actually right about it?
Are you going to strip on live television,
me?
Like on YouTube?
Are you talking about me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I will strip online.
No, it's got to be something. It's got to be something that I would enjoy.
I will do anything.
Oh yeah, well, God,
we're
doing that.
Let me tell you, I will do anything you ask me to do if Kids Are All Right doesn't win this award. I will do anything.
Okay,
you,
it's
you don't
on
have
tape.
To like put anything forth. You just tell me to do it, and I will do it.
Okay, we have
okay.
this on tape. Okay.
You'll have weeks to decide.
Okay. Best Motion Picture Drama. We're up to our last category.
Thank bloody God.
Great stuff.
And the nominees are Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The King's Speech, The Social Network. All five of these will be nominated for Best Picture at the Oscars, too.
Yeah.
It's pretty safe to say, especially with 10.
Yeah.
Out of these, I would say the hands-down favorite is The Social Network.
Mm-hmm.
And I can see that waning come Oscar.
Yeah.
But right now I think The Social Network's got it. Anyone? Roland?
Where I live, I'm down in North Carolina, and Black Swan and The Fighter both open this weekend, so I'm intent on catching both of them then.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I certainly hope Inception doesn't do anything. I think it's going to win a whole bunch of technical awards. If Social Network gets the Golden Globe, I'll be pleased with that from what I've seen. I think the Oscars usually go a bit more. I think the Golden Globe, they always do a good job for me with who the awards go to. I think, like you say, from the Oscars, King's Speech, Black Swan, The Fighter, I would have thought they'd be coming
mm-hmm.
more into it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So,
Jerry,
who are you predicting?
He's predicting Social Network, I think.
Yeah.
I think what's going to win is going. I think it's between The King's Speech and The Social Network. I think The King's Speech. You're right, Jamie. Is a more Oscar. I think they might go with The Social Network. That's what I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
Honestly,
this is another thing. I almost guarantee you by Oscar time that The Social Network, like I was saying before, its prestige will be like trembling, and The Fighter will be the movie that kind of overtakes it. It'll be a battle between the two of those, because I tell you why. Once The Fighter comes out, if it catches on and it's successful – people are going to go crazy for it. I mean, it's a real audience movie that people
mm-hmm.
are going to feel passionate about. I predict.
Okay.
And, I mean, the Sports Illustrated just did that cover story that said it's the best sports movie of the past 20 years. And it is. I mean, I can't think of any better sports movie. So I think The Fighter's really going to come out Oscar time. It might not win anything, but for the purposes of Golden Globes, it's going to be Social Network.
Okay.
I personally, I think that for the Golden Globes, it's going to be The Social Network. I think that The King's Speech is going to lose its early momentum. I think The King's Speech is going to be the one that's actually going to lose the early momentum, and it's going to be the one that grabs maybe one as far as the Oscars go, It's going to grab one technical award, most likely the score, and then one, and then best actor. See, when you're talking about, okay, we're talking about the Golden Globes, and it's going to be Social Network, so that's my prediction. When it comes to the Oscars, though, you've got to, like, take into account all the other categories, and, like, they don't, you know, I mean, you got to figure out, like, what, you know, what's going to be the tally at the end and everything. So, also, for the Oscars, I would go with Social Network, and I think that it will win 4 Oscars. It's going to be one of those years where something wins 4
Oscars. But there
are
some years where there aren't sweeps. I mean, there are some years where where you know, The Departed isn't nominated for any acting categories, but it'll win Best Picture. Or
Is going to be one of those years. I agree, Jamie, and it's going to be one of those years where something that wins Best Picture is going to win 2 other Oscars, and I think that it's going to be The Social Network. It's going to win Picture, Director, and Screenplay, and maybe one other, and I can't tell you what it is. It ain't going to be active. And I think that The Social Network is going to come through. I think that unusually it's going to be The King's Speech that's going to actually lose momentum. But it will win Best Actor, that's for sure, and probably Best Score.
Different nominees for the Independent Spirit Awards. I mean, Greenberg is represented there.
Mm-hmm.
The
Spirit's got some great, great lineups like this year. So,
Greta Gerwig is nominated. John C. Reilly for Cyrus is nominated.
Yeah.
Ben Stiller. Ashley Bell, the girl from The Last Exorcism, is nominated.
Yeah, that was a surprise. That's a big surprise.
Yeah.
Allison Janney for Life During Wartime. Bill Murray for Get Low. That's another person that's fallen off the map is Robert Duvall for Get Low, which was early.
That is a shame. He didn't get a Gold Globe. That's crazy.
Yeah, there's things like that. Yeah,
he's gonna fall off the map. I think that's gonna happen. Wow.
Yeah, we'll never hear from Robert Duvall again.
Yeah.
No, that's a shame.
Wow, best first screenplay. Our good buddy Nicholas Fackler for Lovely Still got nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, good.
Good for him.
I got to write
Great.
Him a congratulations letter. I didn't even recognize.
That's very
him.
Nice. That's very
Never
nice.
Let
Who
Me Go
nominated
is nominated.
Yeah, no, Never Let Me Go. Yeah, there's just some really great, great nominations in the Spirit Awards. Well, last year, too, but this year especially. I mean, so that's a very exciting award show this year.
Who's getting the Thalberg, not the, whatever their lifetime achievement at Golden Globes?
At the Globes? Oh, I don't know.
It's De Niro.
For Little
it's
Fuckers?
It's the Cecil B. DeMille Award. It's the Cecil B. DeMille Award, and it's De Niro this year.
I guess that's
lifetime achievement.
Oh, lifetime.
For Stone, yeah, it's a lifetime.
Oh God, no, that was a bleak movie. That was one of the bleakest films I've seen.
Yeah, bleaker than Rabbit Hole. I've heard that.
No, bleak in the way that The Apostle was bleak. There's something very austere in their main characters' lives. I mean, I felt so sorry.
Not a bleak movie. It's not a bleak movie. That's a very inspiring movie, so I have to disagree with you.
No, austerity, the austerity of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
you mean the
I
fact
felt
that they're
so
poor?
Sorry for Robert De Niro in Stone. I didn't know what was worse, working in the prison or going home to Francis Conroy. I didn't know what was worse. I know, it was just the existence. They're both films. The depiction of religion is bleak, in a sense. In The Apostle, towards the end, of course, it's hopeful, but it is an austere... that's the first movie I thought of watching Stone was The Apostle. I just remember Robert Duvall's character and the life he lived. There's an austerity about it. And the same with De Niro's character in... Stone. It was just.
I think it's very interesting that you think that that The Apostle is austere in most of its running time. And I know we're getting off the subject or whatever, but this happens with movies. But I think it's very interesting that you think that because I think that the Apostle, as the character is called in the movie, his scenes helping when he goes underground. And he's in that little town, and he's going up there into the radio station and everything. I think those are amazing scenes that are not austere at all. And
well, no. Now, this is very important, what I'm about to say, Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Is austere
the right word that you mean?
Excuse me?
Is austere the correct
because
word?
Yes. Because it is my, I am not a religious person at all. I mean, I don't know if I'm to the left of Christopher Hitchens on religion or Richard Dawkins, but I've always viewed religion as a very austere, very orthodox, very strict, straight-laced thing. And especially when I saw The Apostle, I think I was 27 or 28, and definitely at the height of that kind of thinking. I just thought it was a very, for me, my viewpoint on religion, I mean, God, this is just bleak.
I didn't find the,
you might have a different viewpoint.
We just lost Roland.
Roland.
Very, very quick, view of The Apostle, which is to say that it is the most positive movie in the past 20 years about religion, of any religion.
Oh, I just don't see it. But I'm also, that's my view. But remember, I'm bringing in my baggage from religion.
Yeah,
right.
But it is made by someone that does have a positive view on religion.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Which is Duvall. So it's told through that prism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the religion that's the problem with that character. I mean, he's not a charlatan. If anything, that movie has the bravery to show that he does make mistakes. He is fallible.
Yeah.
He's morally fallible, but his religion feels true to him.
Oh yeah,
I have no doubt in that movie that God is important to him.
Not
yeah,
put
but
on.
But from a person who's not religious, me, not religious at all, it does from the way I perceive religion, especially in that film. And I think it's an incredibly well made film. It's just for me that it's like an outsider looking in, very much an outsider.
Jerry, my question to you is this. My question to you is this, and it's a very important question to our perceptions of movies in general. Are you saying that right now that your perception of life has colored your perception of the movie, that you cannot separate your professional life from what the movie presents as the perception of the person's life that it is representing?
You understand that?
Yeah, I'm not going to... I'm just saying... I thought the De Niro character was just... For me, at least, it just seemed like a bleak existence. There was no escapist. There was no escapist element to his life. He seemed like going from one battlefield to the next.
Well, I'm really talking about The Apostle.
And she represented that escape. If he had an escape, he was fooled into thinking that she was probably that escape.
Yeah.
I mean, that's his character.
The Apostle, I haven't seen
here
The Apostle.
I'm really talking about The Apostle rather than Stone, which Stone I haven't seen. I'm really speaking about The Apostle. Do you really think that because of your what you've gone through your life,
uh-huh.
do you feel that has colored your perception of what the character, the apostle, goes through? And do you feel that it's possible that it keeps you from really perceiving what the apostle really is about and what that character really represents?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure of it, especially at that time. I mean, I it's completely other world background. The apostle is an alien world to me.
People say because I had an interesting conversation.
But I don't hate the movie because of that. I find it fascinating.
Yes, of course.
I had an interesting conversation walking out of How Do You Know yesterday, last night, with my friend, my good friend Rick, and he said, I liked it. I related to a lot of it. And when I see a movie, I don't necessarily look to relate to it. I don't have to relate to something to feel empathy for the character.
Right, yeah. No.
It can be a completely foreign situation.
About the other night. This is what we were talking about on Sunday, which is, do you have to like the character to love it?
I'm a lot more open-minded than I was, and as, of course, as I've gotten older, I definitely, you know, there are parts of me that empathize with Robert Duvall's character in that movie. But at the time I saw it, it was just like, for me, like I said, otherworldly. I mean, I could have been watching a film, you know, a science fiction film for that matter. Now, having said that, you know, we watch movies about people we don't relate to, but we can definitely feel something for them. And I can feel something for, definitely for the, especially the Duvall character as I've gotten older. Certainly a man who's done bad, you know, in his past has done these things. And I think everyone can relate to that. So as you get older, there's definitely a more empathy garners out. It's not relating so much, as Jamie said, as, you know, point, but it's, you can definitely, I think, have empathy. We can have empathy for the strangest, the most diabolical, and most, you know, coldest of characters.
Yeah. And his religion, I mean, if you substitute his religion for anything that gives your life purpose, whether
yeah.
it be family or a dream
or
anything
movies.
Like that. Yeah.
Or movies.
Yeah. I mean, it's true to him, but that doesn't mean that.
If it makes you feel any better, Dean, I was talking about it with a guy I used to work with when I saw that movie, and he was actually, he used to be a priest, and he even told me, he found the, you know, he said it's a very hard character to like, you know, for the first half of The Apostle. It's a very hard character to really get into. You really have to sit with him, you know, go with him on the journey. You got to sit through the bad to get to the good.
Well, I think it's absolutely to the movie's credit that he doesn't come across as holier than thou.
Yeah, I think
he could have.
And it's absolutely to the movie's credit that it can inspire a conversation like this. This is the kind of conversation that we really want from movies, that we don't really talk about. We're not really talking about the quality of the movie here right now. We're talking about how it relates to our lives, what we think about the subjects that it touches on. This is what makes movies great. Is that we don't have to sit there and just talk about the movie. Oh, did I like it? Did I not like it? Blah, 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 on and on. You can do that all you want. But then what really becomes great, as you're discovering, I guess, with what you talked about earlier with the Kubrick series, and especially with The Shining, which is going to be like an amazing show, you know, it's about movies are great because they – You start talking about the movie, but then at the end of the 2-hour conversation, you actually start talking about something else quite, quite different. And it actually makes you think about life. The best movies make you think about something much more, much bigger.
Oh, yeah.
The movie itself, as we all know, you know. And, you know, The Social Network does this too. And I think that that's why The Social Network is going to be the movie of the year in terms of, you know, so bringing it back around. You know.
That's right. We're brings it full circle.
Okay.
Okay.
Good
we'll
night,
be back
everyone.
Sunday night with John Wayne Gacy's childhood friend.
All right.
What a segue.
All right. Where's
There's
Andrew
no good segue.
All right.
All right.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Dean. Thank you, Roland, for joining
yeah.
us. He got disconnected, but he said thanks to us.
Good
See you
stuff.
Guys.
All right,
Bye,
good night.
Guys.
Bye,
guys.